Today, we have an interesting topic, which is how to overcome the temptation of disobeying God's voice. Sounds interesting, right? Yeah. As you've seen, I've put 33 verses, but I'm just going to read 10 of them from verse 1 to 10. Then the rest I'll just narrate. So let's look at the paper and we are going to read together. Or turn our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 10. On your own time, you can read from verse 11 up to 33. The Bible says, "By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. As Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering, by the word of the Lord, he cried out against the altar, 'Altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you.' That same day, the man of God gave a sign. 'This is the sign the Lord has declared. The altar will be split apart, and the ashes on it will be poured out.' When the king Jeroboam heard what the man of God cried out against the altar at Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, 'Seize him!' But the hand he stretched out toward the man shriveled up, so that he could not pull it back. Also the altar was split apart, and its ashes poured out according to the sign given by the man of God by the word of the Lord. Then the king said to the man of God, 'Intercede with the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored.' So the man of God interceded with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. The king said to the man of God, 'Come home with me for a meal, and I will give you a gift.' But the man of God answered the king, 'Even if you were to give me half your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came.' So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel." Praise God. As I've already mentioned, that we are going to look at how to overcome the temptation of disobeying God's voice. Now, when we look at the whole scenario, from where we've ended, we are going to hear that after he finished all these two powerful miracles, the first one, as he was declaring, he gave a sign to say, the altar shall split and the ashes will be poured off it. Now, we must remember that this altar had just been newly built by King Jeroboam himself, who started worshipping idols instead of worshipping Yahweh. And so, for a new structure to be put down in the eyes of the king, this was an offense. And the man deserved to be arrested. So he stretched out his arm in anger to say, "Seize him!" And his arm just went like, and it stuck there. And so, again he cried out. He said, "Please intercede to the Lord so that I can be well." The man of God prayed, and the hand was restored. Amen.
Amen.
Now, at this point, we may think to say, "Oh, praise God." Immediately, Jeroboam the king bowed down, started worshipping, and repented and converted. But on the contrary, it was not so. The man said, "Okay, now that you've done this, please come home with me to the palace and have a meal with me. And I will also give you a gift, not just a meal, but I will also add on a gift." And the man declared to say, "No, no, no, no. Even if you were to give me half of your possessions, I will not accept it. Or even to eat or drink, because I've been commanded by the word of the Lord." Very vigilant to obey the voice of God. Amen? And so, He decided to follow the instructions and he started returning back to Judah the different route that he had used, just as he was commanded. Now, something happens. So, when you read from verse 11 all the way to verse 33, you're going to hear that there was a man, and this man is identified as an old prophet in the same land. Now, this is the land where idolatry was done. And we are not told that this old prophet did anything to stop that. It's like he was also part of the same team of those that were sacrificing on the altars in favor of the king. And so when he heard of that, he asked the sons to say, which way did this man of God go? They showed him to say, he went this way. He saddled the donkey and followed the man of God. He found him resting under the tree. Of course, he was tired. And then he asked him, he was like, you must come back to my place to break bread and drink something before you leave. He repeated the same words. He said, I have been given instructions by the Lord not to eat any bread or drink anything in this land, not even to use the same route that I used when coming. These are the instructions of the Lord. I must go. And then the old prophet switched. He said, as soon as you finished and left, an angel of the Lord appeared to me and told me that I should come after you and offer you a meal. And at that point, the young prophet was like, wow, then we must go. Since it's the angel that appeared to you, let's go. So they went back. I don't know whether it was lunch or dinner. The Bible is not specific. So the table was served. And as he started eating, while he was still eating on the table, just like these tables are set, the same old prophet cried out the word of the Lord to say, thus says the Lord, because you've chosen to obey me, man, and disobeyed the command of the Lord, which you are given, as soon as you depart from this place, you'll be devoured by a lion, and you'll not be buried in your land. Don't worry, that sounds scary, but yeah, we are not going to be devoured by a lion. Calm down. So, you'll be devoured by a lion. And of course, the moment he finished, saddled, gave him a donkey, started going. On his way, the lion showed up, attacked him, killed him. And the surprising events that took place there again were, the lion was there, the man, the prophet is dead, it did not eat the body, and it did not eat the donkey. Not even attack the donkey, it was just watching, besides the body. The bypassers were coming, they could see the lion just standing without even attacking them. They went. The report reached the old prophet to say, that man, just as you said, is dead. And so he went again, he saddled his donkey, went and got the body, and the Bible says that he brought him back for him to be mourned and to be buried. And then even gave strict instructions to his children to say, when I die, you should bury my bones besides his bones in the same tomb. Because everything that he prophesied was true and they will come to pass. Interestingly, 300 years later, the same son he had prophesied, the son named Josiah will be born. Josiah was born 300 years later. And he started fulfilling the word of the Lord, killing all the false prophets, killing the priests that were sacrificing to idols, all the magicians, all those that were doing witchcraft and everything. And then, even those who had died a long time ago, he went ahead and exhumed their bones and burnt them on the same altars
to fulfill the word of the Lord. So when you read 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 17 to 18, you are going to hear that as Josiah was carrying out this mission with his men, they came to the tomb of the same young man of God and said, "What is the sculpture saying there?" They said, "Oh, it is about the man of God who came to prophesy about you, what you are doing right now." And then he said, "Do not disturb his tomb. Leave it alone." Now, that old prophet's bones were supposed to be removed and burnt, but because they were attached to that prophet, nothing happened. So, technically, the man, it's like he was preserving his bones, his burial for the future. Amen? Now, I am seeing two temptations in this portion of scripture that came to this man. As I've already said here, is that I would like us to look at the temptation, how to overcome the temptation of disobeying God's voice. Beginning in the book of Genesis, whenever the command is given, we are told in the Bible that there is always a temptation that is going to come. So Adam and Eve were commanded, "You can eat from anything in this field except this one tree." And the enemy said, "This is my mission. The same one which you've been forbidden, I want you to eat it." And then he came. If you know something already and you are very sure about it, and somebody came and asked you a question about the same thing, are you very sure, John, about this which you believe? At that point, bells will begin to ring. You'll be like, "Maybe let me think about it twice. Why is this person asking? Maybe there is a different way." You know? So, the enemy came and asked Eve, "Did God really say, you shall not eat?" And we know the story, how it unfolds, that she added something that Adam was not taught. Yes, God did say that we should not eat from this tree or even touch it. She even added an extra mile, or even touch it. He was the gardener. He was the one taking care of them. Why not touch him? I guess he was touching. Amen. So, at that point, the command was disobeyed. We know the consequences that came thereafter. They were driven out of the garden. And the story is what made sin to enter the world. But coming back to this portion of scripture, I was just narrating Genesis. The same thing happened. The man of God was given the command. Three commands were given. One, as I've narrated there, the first command was to prophesy not against the king, not against the people, but against the altar itself. That was the prophetic diplomacy which was there. To speak against the altar, and who was the builder of the altar? The king himself. Okay? You know, it's fun whereby if a prophet is sent, like even Jeremiah, if you read Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 29, the same man, is it Jeroboam or Joachim? Joachim, actually. God sent him to go and prophesy against this man, to curse him. But instead of him going straight to the man, he started speaking to the ground. Jeremiah 22, verse 29. Verse 29 to 30. Jeremiah started declaring to say, "O earth, earth." This one was saying, "O altar, altar." Jeremiah said, "O earth, earth, hear the word of the Lord and record this man, childless, a man who shall not inherit the throne of David." He went on and said different things. And then we'll hear the generations coming that the word was fulfilled. So in the same way, this prophet prophesied against the altar. "O altar, altar, a son called Josiah will be born, and he will sacrifice on you the bones of the priests." So to prophesy against the altar at Bethel, which was built by King Jeroboam, that's what I meant there. Second thing was not to eat anything in the land. Now, if he ate anything in the land, it could have showed that the land was just okay. It was not detestable before the Lord. It was sanctified. So it was a holy ground. So it's okay. The prophet can enjoy in the presence of the Lord. But he was forbidden to say, you should not do that. And then do not even return using the same way. The reasons could have been different reasons. If they knew to say, okay, he came from this way, the well-known road from Judah to Bethel is this one. Maybe after prophesying this, the king maybe could have sent assassins, you know, to terminate him or something. So he was told to say, use a different way. Okay? He carried out the assignment so well. But this test comes. The second test. The king invites him. That was the first one. Come home and eat something. He refused.
Thank you.
Just like the enemy comes to us and you try to tempt us in one way to say, okay, do this. You refuse. You say, oh, no, 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 no. I'm a child of God. I cannot do this. That hasn't ended there. You come and manifest in a different form. So, this time, he told the king to say, I'm not ready for the meal at the palace, which is believed to be fancy, of course. I'm not interested. And even the gift from the king, I think it could have been a very big gift. After even the hand, you know, had shriveled and then came back, it could have been a big one. He said, no, I cannot accept not even half of your possessions. Those were instructions. I've noted here that in the prophetic ministry, instructions were given differently. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, Elisha told the servant to say, as you are going with the mantle, with the Lord, do not speak to anyone on the way. It was showing the sense of agency and the seriousness of the mission. Jesus also, in the same way, he told his disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 4 to say, as you go proclaiming the kingdom of God, do not salute anyone on the way. Be quiet. If they greet you, don't answer. Now, every time I think about that, I'm like, whoa, that sounds radical. You know, just like there on the mission without talking. Yeah, but I read some background about, you know, the way the Jewish tradition of greeting is, you know, that when they are greeting each other, it's not like, hi, hi, then you bypass each other. When you begin the greeting, it has to be asking each other how the family is doing, then it will go to the cattle, then it will go to the sheep and asking about everything, the field and so on and so forth. So, maybe because of the longevity of the greeting, that's why Jesus said, no, please, cut that out because you'll be entertaining yourselves, chatting instead of evangelizing. So, the instructions were given. But this man, on the contrary, came. So the enemy now, I'm calling him the enemy. Because this was the spirit of deception. There are no two ways about it. It was deception. So he comes and says, as soon as you left the place, an angel of the Lord appeared. I call it a religious temptation. Okay? So there are, if the enemy wants to attack me, Stephen, for example, he knows to say, what is he interested in? Okay, the biblical things and the like. Maybe he might come through in that way to say, okay, you go with the things that you're interested in. He knew to, with Jeroboam the king, the guy just dismissed everything. No meal, no gifts. And he started off. Now, this one brought in a different dynamic. He was like, you know that I'm also a prophet. An old prophet. As I say that, this must have been a foreign prophet because this was the land which was polluted with idolatry. And he wasn't doing anything. Amen? And then he said, as soon as you departed, the angel appeared. And he spoke to me to bring you back. So let's go. And he agreed. He said, yes, Hallelujah. But the sad part, you know, I've always, over the years, I've been struggling with this scripture to say, how could he? Lo and behold, at the center of enjoyment of the meal, the same man begins to declare judgment. So, we need to be very careful, even in the body of Christ. There are temptations about God's voice that we may overcome out there from the people that are coming, like worldly people. There are things that we can quickly dismiss, but there are things that comes in the religious way which might entangle us if we are not careful. Amen? If I came with a lie and told you to say no, the Spirit has said, God forbid, the day you hear me start prophesying, just call me to order. Amen. You know, so it came in this religious way. I was thinking about where I come from in Africa. We've got so many prophets. I haven't heard of so many here. But in Africa, we've got so many prophets. Now, in my continent, as Africans, we are worshippers by nature. Okay? Even before we come to, before Christianity came, we were worshipping something. Okay? Yeah, that's our nature. You know, we were worshipping something, ancestral spirits. When a parent dies, an elderly person, we call them the living beings. You know, the living ones. The living dead, so to say. Living dead. They are dead, but they are called the living dead. I've tuned now to tradition. I'm coming back. So don't misquote, don't get confused. So what will happen is that when somebody is expecting in the family and the time comes for them to deliver, I'm talking about African traditional religion now. When the child is born and the name is given of maybe a particular grandpa or pastor, grandma, and then over a period of maybe 1 week or maybe few days, the child keeps on crying without stopping. Then elderly people come and say, the spirits, the living dead, they have refused this name. They want another name. And it's a belief. So they are going to change the name by naming somebody else. And then the child will stop crying. They will say, yes, the spirits now have agreed. Are you hearing the dynamics? And then the other thing that will happen is that during particular times, you know, there will be just sicknesses, you know, going on in families and so on and so forth. Then they will sit down and say, what has happened? Who disobeyed the living dead? So they will go there and, you know, they will do some sacrifice of maybe pouring some beers, you know, on something, throwing some grains into the river and so on and so forth. Those are beliefs. But now that Christianity came, we believed in Christ, we've become now thunderstorm warriors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, now, this man comes with the religious temptation and say, this is what the Lord has said. An angel has appeared. So, as I said that we are worshippers in Africa, because of that nature, we used to, in the past when I was a little boy, we used to have magicians. They would come and gather people around and begin to perform magic. They are doing all dramatic things. But when the Christianity wave came and swept across the countries, all of a sudden the magicians disappeared. And I was wondering, I was like, where are those magicians we used to see, you know, climbing on a little pole is on top and it is not falling and no one is holding it. Where are they who could turn boys and girls into ducks, into chickens, and then return them back? Where are they? And then I remembered when I started praying and looking at the dynamics that they were still there except that they had conformed to the system. They opened up ministries and called themselves prophets. So they knew to say, what is selling now is Christianity. So this magician thing is not going to buy. So what we are going to do is we call ourselves prophets. And there have been a lot of dramas. Others are getting exposed here and there. Others, oh my God. So what I'm saying is that when somebody says, thus says the Lord, it becomes very difficult to argue with a person. Am I lying? When a person comes and says, the angel of the Lord appeared to me and said this about you, Brother Daniel, you'll be like, hallelujah, please, more. Tell me more. We are all interested of hearing what God is saying. Hallelujah. So I believe that's what made the young man to say, since you have been there in the ministry for a long time and you have said that the angel has appeared, it is true. Now, what we need to understand is that there could be questions to say, okay, if he had been there and then the idolatry were going on and he wasn't doing anything, then how did God speak to him at that particular time? What happens is that I put a scripture there in Romans 11:29. The Bible says that for the gifts and the callings are without repentance. Amen? What happens is that if somebody has been endowed with a gift, me, I've been endowed with the gift of preaching. I can move in the prophetic, in the deliverance. The time, God forbid, if the time came when I fell and abandoned the faith, I can still prophesy. I can still preach. But the question is, which spirit am I operating under? Amen? So there is the skill, that core, that gift will still manifest. I can be seeing visions, but am I in the will of God? Amen? That's why in Matthew 21, we are told, on that day, men will come to me and say, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? All these things. So, the man fell because he was told that the spirit had told someone. If somebody came to you today and told you, you even know them, maybe they are even in the church. They told you to say, the spirit of God is saying this, you must do this. How are you going to respond? Are you going to say, yes, hallelujah, praise God? I also confirm. Or, let me pray about it. How do we respond? These are serious questions, amen? And these are practical things that happen. Let me give you an example. In Zambia, I went to church one day. And I've shared this before. I think it was 2 years ago or 1 year. One man of God appeared in a long gown. You know, he wore the crazy collar and everything. And then he came. He didn't even enter the church. He called an usher by the door and said, come here. Tell your pastor that I need to talk to him. A man of God is outside. An apostle. So I was head, man of God, there's an apostle that is waiting for you outside. So I went out, and then I saw this strange apostle. You know, it's strange because I was meeting him for the first time. Dressed in the gown and everything, you know, a lot of stuff, you know. And then I approached him. How are you, man of God? Good to see you. How can I help you? He was like, I am coming from such a city. And the spirit of the Lord
has sent me to come and preach in your church that you should give me the pulpit today.
Right.
I looked at him, I said, wow. I said, unfortunately, the Spirit of the Lord has not spoken to me that the man of God is on the way coming. Hallelujah. And then immediately was like, if you have said no, then I'm going to find a church somewhere else where I'm going to bless them. I said, Baba, praise God. That's how we disappear. So, a few weeks later, I discovered that this very man of God was eyeing one of the church members. Then that's when he came and he said, ah, no, man of God, you know, I actually have been seeing so and so, so I would like, you know, your help, the hand in marriage. I was like, you could have said it earlier that you were coming after somebody other than saying that the Lord had sent you for me to give you the pulpit. Hallelujah. Now, that is a very difficult thing to do. I can tell you. That is a very difficult thing to do. You know, somebody is coming and this is somebody big and, you know, they've dressed up according to the way they are supposed to dress, the right regalia of the religious performance. But the Lord gave me the courage to say, you don't know this man. You don't know him. You have not even heard and haven't showed you anything about him. Turn him down. I told him, I said, I'm sorry, sir. God has not spoken to me about this. And later I came to discover a lot of issues. It's those wandering preachers who goes from church to church, you know, wanting to preach, forcing their way in. They have got no churches. That is just an example. If you met such a one and they say, that says the Lord, God might have given you certain instructions, certain commands about your family, about your life, about your business, about the church where you worship. And then somebody will show up and say, thus says the Lord. You must do this. How are you going to respond? Amen? The Bible tells us that we must test the Spirit. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. We must test the Spirit to know whether it is from God or it is from the devil. Or maybe not even from the devil, from a human being. Amen? Now, let me say this. There is a way I can respond under my human impulse. Okay? You know, I've studied quite a lot at Fuller here, you know, some theology even back in Zambia. So, there is a way I can respond to you just as a human being. Now, that cannot mean that God has spoken. Amen? Mm-hmm. I can give you an opinion about something to say, okay, this one, God has not said anything, but I think if you did 1, 2, 3, 4, this could be a good idea. That's a wise way to say. Amen? Let me give you an example. I've said this before, I believe, about my wife, Mary. You know, I started having this magnetic draw towards her. After we had been friends for 8 years, she was my best friend. And she's one of those that it was just friendship, no crossing the lines. And, you know, she was coming, you know, as a friend, counseling once a while, prayers, then we'll talk, advice. But after a period of about 3 years, she disappeared. Then we came and met. Then we talked about certain issues, helped her with the family issues. At that point, that's when I felt that draw now. I was praying against it. I said, Lord, this is not right. This is not right. But it kept on coming. That drawing. I was a pastor, and she respected me so much. I didn't even know where to start from. I'll be like, yeah. And there are these
You know, young pastors, there are so many scandals and stories that are being heard. If I approached her again, she would tag me as one of them, you know? Ah, okay. I just gathered up courage, picked up my phone. I prayed. I was like, Lord, yeah, whatever happens, but let me tell her. I just called her. I said, please come home, blah, blah. I'd like to see you. She was even surprised. She was like, we just met 2 days ago. What is there again? So she came. I had to be very specific. I told her that, Mary, you know that I'm a pastor, right? She was like, yeah. At that point, she became suspicious. She was like, where is this story going? And then I told her, I said, you see, what I'm about to tell you, it is not God speaking. It is me as Stephen Mubanga. I had to clear myself in advance. And then I said it. As I always say, strangely, she stood up and walked out, got on a bus. She didn't say anything. 3 weeks, I kept on texting. Hey, what is it going? You know, you throw a scripture, no response, nothing. Until later, I said, I think I'm sorry if I offended you over everything. Please, just forget about what I said, because maybe, you know, that's why I told you it was me, not the Lord. And then she replied, actually, it is a yes. I said, hallelujah! I'm on my way. Yeah, so that's how it started. And today, praise God, it's 9 years later. So, what I'm trying to say is, there are things that you can speak as a human being, you know? Don't try. You see, there's a way as Christians, we will try to manufacture things, to manufacture the word from the Lord, even when God has not spoken. Okay? Even sometimes when a person is in need, I've seen this thing. Instead of just saying, please, I'm asking for some help, you know, things are not okay here. They'll try to bring up something which is not there. I'm not saying that God does not speak. God speaks in so many ways. Amen? So we need to be very sensitive. If God has spoken, praise God. Hallelujah. But if he has not spoken, please, let's be open. Amen. And again, if somebody comes and says something, you are a Christian, you have to check in the spirit. How should you check that? A very good, you know, example is to just go through, okay, this word which has come, is it coming to help me, my family, or anything, or it is coming to destroy? Is it in agreement with the scripture, or it is against? I've heard people who came and said, Pastor, I need your help. What is it? A man of God, it's about men. A man of God prophesied that the marriage I'm in is the wrong one, so I have to leave it now. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell my husband. I don't know what. And then at that point, you begin to wonder. You're like, oh. So there are these things. God will speak anything, but is it God speaking? Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So check the spirit, whether it is from God or it is from the enemy or just our own thoughts. Paul said that if anyone preaches a different message other than what we preached, that person must be eternally condemned. That sounds rough. That is Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. If anyone preaches a different gospel other than the binding gospel of Christ, that person must be condemned. So let us test the spirit. Let us look out. The enemy will come to tempt us based on the things that we are in need of at that particular time. The enemy came to Jesus to say, turn this into bread, when Jesus was hungry, not when he was full. This man of God was tempted to come back and eat at the time when he was hungry. Amen. Praise God. So, I want us to think about this.
when God tells you.
I quoted besides the top scripture there, there is John 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send you the helper, the comforter. That is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, Jesus is not saying, if I love you, or he's saying, if us, we love him, because he already loves us. Mm-hmm. Now, we need to understand that whether we love him or we don't, he loves us, for God so loved. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Praise God. So, we must obey. Sometimes when we begin to talk about obedience in the body of Christ, people begin to say, no, I'm saved by the grace. Even if I'm a sinner, I do everything, there's no problem. You know, I'm a child of God. Yeah, but Jesus wants you to show the commitment. Imagine if I say that I'm a Christian, and then you see me doing things that you don't expect a Christian to do that. I was just having a conversation yesterday with somebody. We are talking about Christianity in Africa, and it's an African brother. And here, so we were discussing to say, sometimes here, it's good to come when you are already grounded. Amen? Because the freedom which is here is too much. To an extent that if you came without being grounded, you can lose it. We are talking about a brother who was a firebrand in worship. And now, he's no longer, he's gone wayward. Because in Africa, if you came and said, I am a Christian, it means you have just employed the whole community of policing you of your Christianity. The moment you try to do something, they'll be like, whoa. You said you're a Christian, but how come? What is this you're doing? Especially you say I'm a pastor. Hey! Yeah. So, we need to live by example as children of God. Amen?
Amen.
We need to obey the Lord. As he's speaking to us, we need to obey him. Let not anything derail us. Whatever is going to come in different forms of voices, let's stick to the command, because there are rewards and consequences that will come. You'll be rewarded for obeying the Lord, and you'll be punished, which we don't like to hear, for disobeying the Lord. But it surely happens. Amen?
Amen.
So from today, let's think about this man. He's given the command, he does the work, and then the temptations comes first, he overcomes. The second, it comes blended in his religious way, and he loses it. You should always go back. If somebody came and told you to say, this is what God has told me, ask that person to say, but I haven't received it yet from the Lord. Let me pray about it. Give me some time. Let me pray about it so that I can also hear whether God has spoken or, in fact, let me confirm it, please. Amen. And when that is done, we are all good. Because God does not change. Somebody say, God does not change.
God does not change.
Yeah, you just repeat that in order to remind yourself. Amen. God does not change. When he speaks and you are certain that he has spoken, he will not change. Amen?
Amen.
I've tested that personally. I've tested in so many ways. God has spoken about certain things, and people came and presented their opinions and said, I think this is what you are trying to do now. It's not the right time. You know, why can't you do this and this? I'm talking about when I was beginning ministry. You know, this is not the right time. But I heard from God. had to stick there. Hold on. And then later they came back and said, praise God, you really heard the Lord speaking to you. Then I almost said, but you are the ones who are saying it wasn't the right time. So we need to be very careful, amen, to hear the voice of God and to avoid the temptation of disobeying. God is going to hold us accountable, each one of us, of the words that the instructions that he has given us to do, and we've decided to go away from what we are supposed to do. May we come back to the very words that he gave us to the glory of his name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Please allow me to end there. Bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your faithfulness. Thank you for today. We pray that, Lord, just as we started this series of learning about hearing your voice, may we be the people that will be able to hear your voice. Lord, we learned about how to respond to your voice. May we be able to know how to respond to your voice whenever you are speaking.
Yes.
And today, Lord, we've talked about how to overcome the temptation of disobeying your voice. We pray that, Lord, make our spirits sharp and alert to be able to detect every form of deception, no matter in which form it may come, we will prevail to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, I declare your blessings to rest upon each one of us today, Lord. Bless our coming in and bless our going out. Even as we shall go into the discussions, Lord, lead us by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.